6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet, and I could hear the ringing in my ears, and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. We have a returning guest named LaVon Rodriguez. She's the owner of the Facebook page, The Original Ghost Stories from the Res. And she comes on to talk about the place she lives at in Colorado. It's an apartment complex, and it's really haunted there. There's been a lot of death that has happened there, and she thinks, you know, according to some research she's done, that there was probably some stuff that happened well before all these buildings are even built, like some old stuff, you know, that could have went down there. But it makes the place really haunted, and there's a lot of things she's had to deal with over the years that she's lived there. And she comes on to talk about all of those, well, some of those things that have happened there. And a lot of these stories have to do with possession. You know, at one point she mentions a story about this duende. So that's the Spanish version of the little people. But those little people, I guess, are kind of mean and, you know, evil things. So she talks briefly about that as well. And when we were talking, there was some stuff that was recorded that she didn't want mentioned. So we changed a name of one of the people she was talking about. So you'll hear periodically some beeps And that's where I was just trying to tone out the name that she wanted to keep private. And eventually she changes the name and we go with the name Samantha. And there was parts of it we had to kind of get used to using a different name. So we went ahead and, you know, corrected those wrongs. And I guess she did and I bleeped out the parts where she said the real name. But if you're wondering why those are there, that's why. And yeah, what I did was I just kind of jumped into a spot that would work well, and I just went from there on the recording. Some of it, I don't know what happened to my recorder, it kind of messed up, but still where it starts is as good place to start as any. So it's going to be it's a good one. It's a good recording. And a lot of these stories that she tells are, man, they're really creepy. And I've heard some similar stories that happened with my mom, and I mentioned those in there too. And before we start the show, I just want to say that, you know, there's some people I've been thinking about lately, and I just wanted to say hello to them, you know, a shout out to them. And one of them is the Williams family up in Kluwak, Alaska. Just so you guys know, if you guys are listening, I think about you guys up there, and because you guys used to live on a res, and you know, one of your family members still lives at that log house, an old agency. So I think about you guys every time we drive by. I look up at the house. When I was small, I used to play up there. Anyways, I was thinking about you guys, and since you're so far away, I wanted to kind of give you guys a shout out, and I'll just say okay. And the next family is the Manyhides family. My cousins that are, you know, living off the res. I think about you guys a lot too. And I think about your kids. The next time we meet up, we should go out and do something, you know. Go out in the woods somewhere and go mess around. Go see what we could find. And, you know, teach those kids how to shoot better. Because last time, you know, we always see each other at these sad times. So I'd like to just make a good time that we can go see each other. Well, anyways, shout out to both families. And yeah, let's get on with the show.
I was talking to a neighbor one time. She's lived here for 20 years. And she told me, she says, did you know about the lady that lived before you in your apartment? I said, no. And she said, well, she was killed by her boyfriend, but they said it was a suicide. They considered it a suicide because the way he killed her, it was like hanging from the, you know, the shower head. They hung her. He hung her from the shower head, but he got away with it.
Jeez.
And I asked to see if I could move different apartments, but they wouldn't let me. So we were like, okay, well, you know, nowhere else to go, let's just make the best of it. So we stood here, and just weird things would start happening, like you would hear, you know, things moving and no one would be there, or you'd hear whispers in the other room and you'd be the only one home, you know, or doors would open and close on their own. And one thing I noticed about I think it was her, but one thing I noticed about it, because like when I'd have dreams, it's like this woman would come to me and she showed me what happened, you know, like how he hung her, how he like he drugged her and hung her. That's how she died, right? So it was funny because she just really didn't like guys. She really didn't like men that would come into our apartment, and she would make it known, you know, especially the ones that were bad or anything. Because like I had a friend whose boyfriend used to beat her, and oh, she would really mess with him, like, you know, really mess with him. But so my daughter started making friends around here and, you know, visiting with everything. So she had a friend who lived across from us down in the basement, and because we live on the third floor. So they lived in the basement apartment, but you could always hear a baby cry in there, because right before they moved in, I guess a lady went and partied and left her like 3-month-old baby in there. And she was gone for a week and the baby died.
Oh, no.
But you could always hear a baby cry from there. It was just, it was crazy, you know. It was like, wow, and so sad, you know, because when they found the baby had starved to death and everything, and it was just, it was really sad, yeah. But so new people moved in. My daughter made friends with them, and she went over there, and she would go over there. One night, she went over there, and they were partying, and then she fell asleep, her and her significant other. And she said, you know, she came home the next day, and she's like, Mom, she's like, I don't know what's wrong. She said, my side really hurts. She said, I had a dream last night that, you know, she said, these priests, but they were all in dark robes, were all standing around me. She said, and they were trying to, you know, get rid of a possessed woman. She says, but she said, that woman was on top of me, and she had her hand in my side, like she put her hand in my side. She said, and it looked like Reagan, you know, from The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I woke up, and she says, look at this. She has a big old mark on the side of her, on her side, by her stomach, you know. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't know what to do. She said, because it was a dream, but I have a mark here, and it hurts. And I go, oh, my gosh. So, you know, we prayed, and, you know, I smudged her off. And I said, don't, you know, don't think about it. Don't give it power. Just don't think about it and just pray, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't think of it for the longest time. Like, we haven't thought about it. But maybe about 4 months ago, because we've been here, like, I'm going to say about 14 years, 15 years.
Wow.
4 months ago. And we've had scary stuff happen, like, I've had priests try to come in here and pray, but it ends up where they don't show up. I've had, like, ghost hunters come into my apartment, and they got scared and would never come back, you know. It's just crazy stuff like that. But we stay because, you know, I was told that it doesn't matter if I move because it's going to follow us wherever we go, you know. So we stay, and I have so many stories about I've been drug off the bed here. You know, I've been, some scary stuff's happened here. I had a friend who, oh, I don't even know if I want to tell that story. That'll be another time, because I haven't told anyone that story really. But so 4 months ago, my daughter, she had a dream. She has two dogs, and, you know, they're bullies, like bully mixes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, I was sleeping, Mom, and she says, and then in my dream, my dog's on top of me, so I'm petting her, you know, I'm petting my dog on its head and stuff. She said, and I couldn't stop, and I kept trying to wake up to tell myself to stop petting her. She said, finally, I opened my eyes, and that Reagan was sitting on top of me. And she said, and I'm petting her, and she's just laughing at me because I couldn't stop. She said, and then I closed my eyes and I start praying. As soon as I start praying, she was gone. She says, but I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. She had that sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
But it was Reagan off The Exorcist that she was petting. And she opened her eyes and saw that it was Reagan that she was petting.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Yeah. So, and the crazy part is, so all three of us have seen her. But, you know, the funny part is, I never even watched that. Like, I try not to watch a lot of scary movies and stuff because, you know, they say that that can bring it into your house.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it gave me the creeps after that because I've had dreams about her and then got the sleep paralysis too. So I don't know if it has to do with that woman that passed away here or what, but these apartments are almost like, how would you say it? You know, like those subway trains where ghosts get on and ghosts get off. It's almost like that through here, but they've been here forever here in Colorado. They're really old apartments. And everyone I talk to here always has something happen in their house, like some scary stuff.
Dang, it sounds like, you know, I was talking to one of my friends and he said, I was telling him, we were talking about the Browning Jail, you know, and he would, I was asking one of my other friends that used to work there as a cop, like, why don't you, has anybody ever smudged that place out or anything like that? He says, not that I know of. And my other friend, I was asking him, so I wonder if it would be all right if somebody went in there and smudged that out. He says, I don't even think it would do anything. He said, what's the point? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it's like smudging out a bar. He says, if you smudge it out, it's not even going to do nothing. Everything will just be right back in there. He said, so what's the point of doing it? That it must be like that. There's so many things and different people that constantly bring or invite those things in, you know, even unwittingly, just by the way they act, you know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people killed here. Jeez. Like, I don't know, I was told one time that natives used to bury their people here. And it's crazy because I've tried to look it up and everything, and we found something once, but after that, we look all over the internet and can't find anything about it, like nothing. And it's just like, well, you know, every time I try to move now, it's crazy because it always falls through. Like, I've had a house, and we were, you know, we were moving over there, lived there for like 3 months, like, you know, and it fell through. So every time I try to leave here, it falls through. Like, I don't know, it's crazy. But hopefully we'll be moving here in about 2 or 3 months. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do have a really scary story here. And I don't, well, maybe I'll okay. So I had a cousin come live with me from Wyoming. And this person that lived with me, they came down. She lived her life, you know, and she was just crazy. She was just, you know, she loved to party and go out, meet people and stuff. And she met all my neighbors and everything, and she started getting on drugs. And I kept telling her, don't, I'll help you. Let's go get you some help and stuff. And she was like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm good. I love you. And you know, I loved her. Like, she's my bestie, best friend, you know, in the whole world. I could tell her anything, and she could tell me anything, you know, and it was just that. So I said, okay. You know, and she started going around, and she got a boyfriend. And she would go stay with him. But while she would come here, she'd go party with my neighbors, because there's, like, 6 buildings where I live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of, like, in each building has maybe about 50 apartments in them. Or maybe even more, a little bit more. But so she would go party with the neighbors and stuff, and my friends, and they would, and then one of my friends who lived across from us, she came up one day and she was like, hey, so and so can't come party at my house anymore. And I was like, why? What's wrong? You know, and she said, we were drinking and I had my little girl there. She said, and so-and-so start rolling around on the ground, getting contorted, and start speaking in a weird language, like Latin or something like that. She said, it scared me. It scared me and my daughter. She said, we went and locked ourselves in the bedroom, she said, and we wouldn't come out. And she said, I didn't know what to do, she said. And when she finally left, because I asked, well, where'd she go? And she said, I don't know. She got up and left. And so she says, but she can't come over here no more. And I said, okay. I said, I'll tell her when she comes back. I said, but, you know, I said, she was just drunk. You know how people get when they're drunk. She's like, no, that wasn't drunk. She said, that was more like off the exorcist.
Dang.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, whatever. You know, I just blew it off, because you don't think anything, you know, like, okay, well, that's not true, because this is real life. You don't. You know, I mean, do you understand where I'm coming from? Like, yeah. Most of the time, you're trying to tell yourself this is real life, that shit don't happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just drunk, whatever, acting stupid. So I just let it go, and then I had a friend who lived on the second stairs below us, catty corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother, he used to associate himself as a female. He would hang out with my friend. They would hang out together. They became best friends. And she didn't believe in anything. She, you know, she was just like, she just partied, whatever. And she'd have her mom and like two or three of her sisters there and her brother. So Corinthia was my daughter's friend. And her sister, Ange, was the one who had the apartment. But I can't remember the brother's name for the life of me. I can't remember his name. Because he went by a male and a female name. You know, he was, like I said, he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hung around together all the time. So one time they came, I guess he was down there drinking. And then they came up to me and they were like, hey, we can't come back to the house. He was acting weird. And I was like, what are you talking about? I said, you guys get him drunk. I said, and I, who knows what else you do with him? I said, and then you guys tell me he can't come back because he starts acting weird. I said, but you guys are the ones that get him started, you know?
Yeah.
And so Corinthia says, you know what? Like, she used to call me mom. She says, you know, mom, she says, I'll tell you what happened. So Samantha was down there partying with them. And, so Corinthia said she woke up in the middle of the night, and they were in the middle room, and they were sleeping on the floor because they didn't have no furniture. They just moved in. So they were sleeping on the floor. They didn't have no furniture. She said, and Cody slept in the middle room with her. But in these apartments, there's bright lights in the middle because too much crime has happened here.
Mm-hmm.
So these lights, they emanate into your bedroom at night. So you could see lights in your room, right?
Yeah.
So she said, she woke up. She had this weird feeling, and it was like 3:00 in the morning. She woke up, and he was sitting there with his legs out, and he was just staring out the wall, just sitting there. And so she said, I just had this weird feeling. So she said, Samantha, she's like, what are you doing? Why are you looking at the wall? And so he said, Samantha's not here right now. Right? And he turned his head and she said that it was almost inhuman how far back he turned his head to look at her.
Oh.
And he gave her this, she turned her head sideways and gave her an awkward smile. Like a, I don't know how to explain it. She said it scared her, it chilled her to the bone. So she's like, Samantha, stop. And then so Samantha just kept looking at her, and she said, I swear her eyes turned red, like a glowing red.
Whoa.
She said, I ran for that door and ran out to the living room because my mom was in the living room sleeping on the couch. She said, and then when I did that, she said, Samantha came crawling out like a spider, but it was like in a jerky moving way, like it was weird. And she said, I jumped on top of my mom, and Samantha was like crawling up her legs. She said, I don't know how to explain it. She said, it was unnatural, like the way it was. And she kept like growling and telling them, Samantha's not here right now. Like in a you know how they do the, like ring around a posy or something like that, how kids do that. Well, she was doing that with them. She said, so the mom and her ran to the back room where Ange and the rest of them were, and they locked that door on her, and they start praying, like, you know, Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would hear her screaming and all kinds of stuff in that front room. So they said they stood there till, like, I guess when the sun started coming out. They went out there, and Samantha was gone. The door was open. Samantha was gone. So that's when she told me, you know, she said, she can't be here no more. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, she's drunk. That's the first thing I think of. She's drunk. She's on drugs. Who knows, you know, because I was told that she started doing heroin.
Dang.
And I was just like, you know, she's open. So she came one day and she was sober, and I sat down with her, and I kept telling her, you know, you need to straighten up. I'll help you. you know, I'm here for you. Let's go get you help, this and that. And she's like, no, I'm all right. She said, I'm gonna go to my boyfriend's for a while, and I'll be there for a little bit, and then I'll come back. And I said, okay. And I hadn't seen her for, I'd probably say about 3 weeks. And then that Corinthia was up here watching TV with Tesla. They were watching TV in my front room because I have a 3-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And it was late in my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He was just getting off of work, and he had to come home he'd get here about 12, had to turn around and go back to work. Like, he had to get up at 3 in the morning and turn around and go back to work. So he only had a couple hours sleep. So I had his dinner ready for him, and he was going to get in the shower and stuff, had all his clothes and everything ready for him. And I told everyone, well, just be quiet because he needs to sleep, because he used to be a mover. But, you know, he'd have to move people out of town, like all the way to Florida, places like that.
Yeah.
So I know he was going to be tired. So he came in. Oh, before he came in, I had a knock on the door, and it was Corinthia's brother from downstairs. And he was standing there with Cody, and he pushed in the door. He's like, he can't be at our house. And I didn't know he was around. And I was like, what? And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, he can't be at our house. And you could tell Cody was drunk or high. And so I told her, go to your room. You know, because they stayed in the middle room. Mm-hmm. And my room was right next to the middle room, the third room. And so I said, go to your room. And so she said, okay. She went to her room. And I had her bed was right next to my wall. Like, our beds were, like, how would you put it? On her side, it was the same way as my bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you got to take, like, maybe, it's maybe, like, 4 feet to the window, but she had a double bed. And so I sent her to her room, and then my ex comes walking in, and I told him, well, everything's ready. And he said, all right, I'm going to take a shower first. So he went to our room, and I followed him. And all of a sudden you hear this deep emanating growl that went through the whole apartment. Like a, it was, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a bone chilling growl. Right. And I'm all like, what the hell is that? And the next thing you know, it felt like these claws were ripping the wall in my on the other side of my room in Samantha's room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could hear them going across the wall. Then all of a sudden the window starts opening and closing, opening and closing. And it's still like ripping the wall. Like, I'm like, who else is in there with her? So we go and we open the door. My ex opens that door because I was like, oh, I got scared, you know, and my girls got scared. You know, my daughter and her friend.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all scared. And so my ex goes and rips open that door, and he's like, hey, Samantha, stop scaring my family. But so I'm behind him, right? And Samantha's on the bed. Did you ever see The Exorcist where she's, like, flip backwards and she's crawling down the stairs or crawling up the stairs?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, she was like that. And you could still hear the wind, like the someone was ripping the wall apart, and you could see the window opening and closing by itself.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And she stops, and she's not even using her hands. Her head's up, and she does a weird, like, she turns her neck unnaturally, like, I don't know. And she gets contorted like that, and she starts growling and laughing at this. I don't know how to explain it. And so I was like, what the, you know, like, what the F?
Yeah.
And I was just standing there with my mouth open, and I know she scared my ex too, but, you know, he's a man. He ain't going to show that. He was like, stop scaring my family. He said, I'm going to throw you from the window. And I was like, you can't do that. That's my family. I mean, even though, you know, they were like that, I was like, so, you know, because we're on the third floor.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I said, stop it, Samantha. And so we closed that door, and he went to the room, and he says, what are we going to do? I said, I think I'm just going to call the police and have them come take her and put her in the drunk tank, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I didn't want her outside walking, because it was a bad snowstorm. And I mean, the snow was up to my knees, so I couldn't have her walking around like that.
Yeah.
And so I called the police, and they said, all right, we'll come get her and take her to the detox. So I said, oh, well, no, at first they were like, well, how's that our problem? I said, well, she's disturbing, you know, the peace. And I said, and on top of that, she's drunk. I said, and if she walks off, then it's going to be your problem. I'm going to sue you guys, you know. So they were like, oh, yeah, we'll come get her and throw her in a junk tank. Because, you know, I didn't want her to freeze to death or anything. So they came and got her, and it was these two big burly cops. Like, I mean, they had big arms. Like, I wouldn't want to meet them in a dark alley.
Yeah.
And they showed up in two different cars. But, well, before that happened, when I told Samantha to stay in her room, I went and grabbed my sage, and I went out there and I whispered to my girls because she couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I whispered to my girls, I said, well, if anything evil's in this house, I'm going to chase it off. I'm going to smudge this house, you know, like smudge it, like so it's thick. Mm-hmm. So, and I said, if anything evil's here, it'll leave. So as soon as I put that lighter to that sage, Samantha comes barreling out of that room. And then she goes to the front door trying to rip that front door off and get out. So I was like, I can't let her leave because she'll freeze to death. So she got to the second floor and I said, they don't want you here, Samantha. I said, you got to, I said, just wait here. I said, the cops are coming after you. Because she wasn't being, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Like, whatever it was in her was really, it was polite. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was scary polite. And so my daughter's standing there with me. She comes down and she brings a coat to me and brings a coat for Samantha. And she looks at Samantha and she tells Samantha, she says, don't do this, Samantha. She says, we love you. She's like, God will always be with you. And she turned and she gave my daughter the ugliest look. And she says, there is no God. And mm-hmm. There is no heaven. She's like, you'll never, or I don't know. It was just evil what she told my daughter. And I told my daughter, no, go upstairs. I said, I don't want you here. And so this is the first time I'm telling the story. So it's kind of creeping me out. Mm-hmm. So the cops finally show up. And we walk her down to the police car, and I tried to put her coat on her, and she was small, like she was a small, dainty little thing, like you could put your finger and your thumb together, your pointer finger and thumb together, and that's how big her wrists and arm were. She was small.
Mm-hmm.
And these cops were fighting with her to try to put on her coat because it was wintertime. They couldn't even lift her arm, and Samantha was just laughing at them. Like, she was saying, I don't know, she was just, like, doing weird shit. Like, her tongue was out, like, flicking and doing weird stuff, you know? And I just told that cop, I said, yeah, take her to detox. He's drunk. So they put her in the back of one car, and that cop started driving off, but he stopped. And he jumped out and ran around to the back, and I don't know if he hit her or what, but the other cop parked his car, jumped in with the other police, and they took off and took her. Like, they left one cop car here. Like, they were scared of her. So I don't know what she said or did, but that's how they took her. And then, like, maybe 3 weeks later, she came and showed up. Because she didn't come home after detox. I don't know where she went, but she might have went to her boyfriend's. 3 weeks later, she showed up, and I told her, I said, you know, because she started packing her stuff. And she said, here, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you this. It was like her pictures, her clothes, and, you know, personal items. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because in our way, when you start giving stuff away, it means you're going to, you know, go back home to the other side, you know, to mm-hmm. the happy hunting grounds. Mm-hmm. So I was like, don't do this, Samantha. Don't, you know, so... She wouldn't listen to me. She's like, no, I'm just giving it to you because you save everything. She's like, and I'm with my boyfriend. I just have my suitcase. And she gave me all her really personal items. Like, I don't know, that meant a lot to her, right? So I knew something was wrong. I said, no, Samantha. I said, don't go. I said, you know, stay here. I said, I'll get you some help. I said, well, go right now. I said, I'll call around. We'll get you some help. I said, I just have this bad feeling. And she says, no, she says, I love you, sister. She's like, I'm going to be okay. I said, no, I have this bad feeling. I said, that cops are going to call me and tell me to come downtown to identify a body. Hmm. And she's like, no, it's not going to happen like that. She says, well, she says, all right, I'm going to take these to my boyfriend and I'll be back. She said, I'll be back tonight and come spend the night with you. I said, okay. And she never came home. And so my phone got cut off. It was a bad time for us because he wasn't working after that for a couple weeks because, you know, the moving business, it was close to like, I'm going to say Christmas or something, you know, people really don't move and stuff during that time. Mm-hmm. So he didn't work and my phone got cut off, his phone got cut off, and my girl's phone got cut off. And we only had to wait a couple of days before it got turned back on. But, you know, at that time I was like, geez, I wonder what my family's doing back home. So I called my mom from my neighbor's phone and she says, where are you? She said, we have police getting a hold of us here telling you to come downtown to identify a body.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, who? And she said, it was Samantha.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no. Like you, I was like, oh, no. And I was freaking out. So I used my friend's phone to call the police. You know, they left a number. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Samantha passed away. Damn. And the morgue, or how, I don't know, I think it was the morgue or the funeral home. Anyway, they were transferring her body back home to the reservation. And they said that they could stop by here and I could put her personal things on there so she could be buried with them because that's the way we do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay. And plus so I could say goodbye. And it was just weird because they showed up and her body was in the back. She opened it up so I could say goodbye to her. As soon as I touched her, I fainted. Because her face was all bruised up. She looked bad. And I kept calling the family back home. You know, what happened? What happened? No one would tell me. No one would talk to me. And they said, well, are you going to come home? I said, no. Because some of her wishes they didn't go through with, you know, that she wanted. Like, she would tell us how she wanted things done.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go through with her wishes. So I know she was going to be mad. So I was just like, no, it caused a big controversy with the family. So they wouldn't tell me what happened, you know, because you have to be next of kin, like mom, dad, to have, know what happened.
Yeah.
So eventually one of our friends talked to one of the aunties and she told us what happened. She said that Samantha was walking in the wintertime and she didn't have a coat on. So this this priest, he found her walking. He picked her up and put her in his car and took her to the rectory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made her go lay down, and he was going to go get food for her. He came back in here. She was face down on the floor. But I guess she fought. She really didn't want to go to the go with the priest, but she had no energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I figure if she was possessed, that thing probably fought her to the end. And when she went into the church, that's what happened, you know?
Yeah.
But, so, being an urban Indian, I guess you could say, it was hard for me to believe, you know? All of it was like, you sit down and you're like, geez, did that really happen? You know, I mean, sit there and look at the timeline, everything, and wow, that's crazy, you know? And I was just in, how would you say, I mourned because, like I said, that was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, I swear, one night we were laying there and my ex was asleep and I was asleep. And then I felt someone rubbing my leg and whispering, like, it was weird, like a scary whisper, like a growl almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it kept telling me, I'm okay now. And for some odd reason, I knew it was Samantha. I fucking woke up and I start screaming. I was like, hey, you know, I was talking to my ex. I don't want to say his name because he's an ex. We'll just call him Paul.
Okay.
I said, hey, Paul, Paul. And then he jumped up and he was like, what the hell is that? All his hair was standing up and he was screaming like, but he was like, what is that? Like, it scared him. He grabbed the Bible that we had at the end of the, in my room.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
And he opened it, and whatever it was, like, it just laughed, and it, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, it went out the window. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna have this place blessed. And I kept calling priests and stuff, and they would say, okay, we're gonna show up, never show up, right? So then I called this paranormal team, but it was a man, wife, and son. They were all together in it. And they showed up, and they were like, oh, my God, like, you know, because I don't have central air or anything in here. It's an older building. So they have those old steam, you know, how it steams up for heat and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't blow air in here. There's no air in my house. So you really don't see dust particles or anything. But, you know, I have OCD, so it was hard for me to let something go bad and have dust on it and everything. So they came in, they were like, look at all these orbs. So they showed me on their computer, you know, that there was just hundreds of orbs in that living room, and they were shooting up out of the, into the ceiling. And I was like, how scary, you know? So I didn't think nothing of it. And I just kept telling them, you know, my daughter keeps saying that she has someone in her closet in the middle room, because that's what she kept saying since Samantha was in there. She's like, there was something in that middle room. And so my daughter's part Mexican, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she kept telling me, Mom, it's a duende. And duendes are these evil little, little people, but in a Mexican way, you know, and they're just evil. Like, they come to cause havoc and steal souls and stuff like that. And so, you know, I didn't believe her, but, you know, I went in there and I laid down one day because me and my ex were fighting. And I just wanted to get away from everyone. She's like, yeah. She said, I'm going to go jump in the shower, so go ahead. So I went in there and something hit me on my face with a pillow real hard. And I thought it was my ex. I was like, are we going to fight or something? I jumped up because I didn't hear the door close or anything. And here, no one was in that room. So, you know, I was like, what the hell was that? I jumped up, got out of that room. So I believed her after that. So I said, you know, I'm going to have priests come in and bless this place because I don't know what's going on in this apartment. Too much things are happening. You know, we've seen cords be lifted and just sit there. And even my neighbors or friends would be here and they would freak out. Or they would see scratches just start appearing on our skin, whatever, you know. Just crazy stuff like that. One night I was sleeping and there was, you know how... I was always told to leave a light on in your house, even if it's a bathroom light, because, you know, that evil things don't like light. Mm-hmm. So I had my kitchen light on, and it's weird because it's down the hall and it's around the corner. But you could still see light from my room. And I was laying there sleeping, and then all of a sudden something yanked my leg and drug me off the bed, start trying to drag me down the hall. Oh. And I was like, what the hell? And I jumped up, and it caused a lot of problems anyway. Like, me and my ex fought. We were going to break up, and he heard something holler at him, get out, down the hall. But it sounded like, you know, the Amityville Horror, like, get out. We've also had, like, in infestations of spiders and flies, like hundreds of flies, and it's unbelievable. Like, you wouldn't believe it, like, there'd just be all of them, then all of a sudden they'd be gone.
Weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's I said I have my own Amityville Horror here because that's what would be going on. And then, so, you know, the priest would never show up, so that team came in. They had good evidence because they got EVPs, all kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they left. So after they left, I don't know if I made it worse or something, because I went to sleep that night and it felt like something jumped on my chest. Mm-hmm. And that's where Reagan comes in, because I opened my eyes too and I swear it was her. But, you know, I said, well, maybe I'm dreaming, you know, because I couldn't move. I couldn't wake anyone up. And it felt like it just took my whole life force. It kept, you know, and then at that last breath, I said, oh, I'm going to die. Just please, Lord. And as soon as I said, Lord, whatever it was jumped off of my chest and it ran down the hall screaming.
Dang.
And I didn't have enough energy to do anything else. All I remember is saying, Lord, and you know how you think it in your head and stuff.
Yeah.
I turned over. I couldn't even tell my ex. I just turned over and I fell asleep. And I stood in bed for 3 days because, like I said, it felt like it took every breath of me except for that last breath. And on that third day, when I was finally able to get up, I called that investigator and I told him what happened. And he says, well, I can't help you, he said, because me and my wife are getting a divorce now. He said, whatever's in your house caused a lot of issues here. He said, we brought it home with us and some evil stuff has happened here. He said, and I don't ever... I can't help you no more, he says. But he said, I do have a number for you to get in contact with. And he got a hold of I guess he's a what do you call them? Demonologist?
Mm-hmm.
Here in Colorado. And I told him my story, because there's a lot more to the story than I've told here. Like, yeah. There's other stories that go off with it. But I told him everything, and he gave me... He says, well, he says, you're a strong person, he says, because a lot of people have gone through what you've gone through and haven't lived through it, you know. He's like, I'm going through a case now here in Colorado where I have to go to the hospital and do an exorcism on a person, you know. He's like, if you want to come see. And I'm like, nope. I said, I've seen enough. I don't need to see no more, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I'm not, you know. I'm good. He said, okay. He says, well, he said, I'm really tired. He says, but I need you to go through your house and do 3 prayers, and I need you to do them in every room for 7 days. And so I did that, and every time you could feel it, like there was, you know, how you work yourself up to a big ending or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it kept feeling like something was going to happen. Everything kept trying to stop me from doing those prayers too. Like, weird things would happen, but I still pushed on and did them for 7 days. And on that seventh day, it was like a deliverance. Like, my whole apartment just felt calm. But, you know, I mean, here and there I get scary things happen. Like the other day, my daughter's door, the whole handle turned. We watched it turned and it opened on its own, you know. But other than that, it's not been like that evil that was here. Yeah. Jeez.
And do you think that's the, I guess, the entity or whatever that was bothering Samantha?
I think so. Like I said, and you know, the demonologist told me too, he says, it wouldn't matter if you moved. He said, whatever's there, it's around you guys, you know. But sometimes I don't know if it was just, because I was told that when spirits stick around, they stay angry, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, I hope it isn't that woman that was killed here. I said, you know, I pray for her every day too.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know if it's her. But I said it all happened when I moved in here, because, like I said, you could hear that, you could feel that evil when you walked in.
Jeez, it was probably already there. That's, you know, it's been there all this time and causing trouble for everybody that comes in there, probably.
Well, you know, since I've been here, these places have, you know, and it's sad because it is, you know, housing. It's, mm-hmm. you know, like on the reservation, it's housing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I've seen plenty of death here. I think I've seen like 8 people killed here.
Jeez.
Some by cops. Well, a few, more than a few, by the police officers, you know, and some that did a suicide mission that tried to go out like that, you know, and mm-hmm. others, you know, just from like drugs or alcohol or, you know. But like you were saying, I think it's just here and it's here to stay. It doesn't matter. Like, I've smudged my house, smudged a couple friends' houses, you know, and it didn't help any. So I don't know if it's just in the ground or whatever.
Yeah, like with me, when I used to live with my dad, you know, he was quite a thirsty guy. He was always bringing friends over and stuff like that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would smudge that house, but it would just come right back. All of those spirits would just come back in there. Those ones that used to like mm-hmm. to raise hell. And finally I could barrier off my room, just my room. And that's all I did. I was able to at least keep my room free of all that. But
yeah,
like my one cousin, she lived in a duplex, and on the other side there was, I don't know what was going on in this place, but you know, I never really did get the full story other than little bits here and there, but there was something in there that would make it appear, this is my guess about what was happening, is there was something in there that was trying to trick my cousin and her daughter, and it would make it like the guy next door was messing with them, but it really mm-hmm. wasn't him, because that wall that separated their units, you would hear scratching, whispering on that wall. And mm-hmm. sometimes the daughter would go over and, like, scratch back. Like, there would be a scratch on that side, and she'd scratch back, and you'd hear whispering. Then it would move to a different place on the wall, and she would move to that spot. And I don't know, she was kind of, like, humoring it, but you're supposed to, and this is what we're taught, I don't know, it's different mm-hmm. for each tribe, but you're supposed to barrier off those walls, too, when you live next door to people. You know, and you share the same thing, because who knows who they bring in to their house.
Yeah.
And that thing can just come right into your house if it's open like that. And at these old places that we stayed at these townhouses that were joined, It was just basically one big building, one big townhouse, and it was just split. So, right next door, though, same thing, more townhouses, and they're like split too. So there'd be two, you know, there's a garage on each side, and it's split like that for two families. Well, one night, I hear this screaming and this crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm outside one night, and you know, I used to smoke cigarettes, and so I was outside one night, and this must have been in, oh geez, about 2017, I want to say, before we got this house. We bought a house, and before we moved here, that was the last place we stayed at. Well, anyways, I hear this crying outside, and I'm thinking, I could hear it coming from that house. And because a window was open, I want to say it was the kitchen window, and I went up to that door, and I could hear a kid just crying in there. And I thought, did they leave him home, like run to the store real quick, and he woke up scared and he's crying? There was no lights on in the house. And I thought to myself, well, I'm gonna go in there and check. And then I stopped. Wait, get a grip, man. Like, if you walk in there, there's a chance you can be shot. You know, don't play hero now. You just call the cops. So I called the cops. And they show up, and everything's okay. Like, it was all okay. Mm-hmm. They checked and everything, and the dispatch actually called me back and says, oh, no, the family is there. We don't know why the kid was crying, and neither did they. They think he might have just been scared. I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'm not trying to cause trouble. I just heard this kid crying, and I thought maybe the kid needed help for some reason. And so the next day, I'm out by my little shed garage little thing, and the guy's out there, and I'm cutting the grass, or I'm doing something out there, and the guy's out there, and he's, hey, did you see that stuff happen last night here? The cops come. I said, yeah. He says, I wonder why they came. He says, I wonder if somebody called the cops. I said, hey, man, I said, I did. And he just looked at me like, you know, like I was a piece of, you know what? Yeah. And I'm like, no, hey, look, I got to tell you what happened. Like, heck, I'm not, you know, into nobody's business like that. I said, but there was a kid crying in there. And so I had to, like, I was going to go in, bro. I was going to walk into your house, but I stopped because I thought, well, geez, you might shoot me. So I instead called the cops, and it was going on, hey, I said, for a long time. It's like at least 15, 20 minutes before I did anything about it. I said, and it was a kid crying. So I thought maybe something could have happened to you guys. You guys could have been gone. The kid was, you know, needing help. I said, so I just called the cops to make sure it was okay. And he says, oh, I see, all right. You know, because I think he might have thought I was one of those busybody type neighbors. And I'm like, I'm not. Yeah, I'm like, not. I was scared. I was scared for that kid. And so anyways, he kind of like relaxes. You could tell his posture. He like relaxed. All right. He says, well, I'm going to tell you what happened. He said, my kid, he said, my son, he was up in his room. And he said he come out, and after it all happened and they woke up or whatever, after he quit crying and all that, he was telling them like what happened. And he said, there was a blanket, and there was a kid in there, and they had the blanket over them. And they were down like a turtle. And I went over to play with them or to see what they were doing, because I didn't know there was a little girl. He said, and they stood up. Whoever that girl was stood up. That blanket was still over her head. And when that happened, it scared me. So that just scared me. I don't know why. And I started crying, and I couldn't. You guys wouldn't wake up or whatever. And he said, I was really scared, and that thing was in my room. And I asked, that's what the guy was telling me, and I'm thinking, what the hell? So there was something, that was that side of the neighbor. On the other side, this mm-hmm. other veteran, you know, he was my good friend too, and they would see a little girl run through their house.
What?
Yeah, and that's the same thing that was bothering that kid on this side. And these guys are non-natives. They ain't even native, mm-hmm. you know, and but they were still,
yeah.
you know, this was still happening, whether they believe in that stuff or not, you know, like we do. Mm-hmm. And so that neighbor where his kid was getting bothered by it, where that girl was actually playing with his kid one night and scaring him, you could tell he didn't know what to do. So I gave him some smudge, and I told him what to do with the smudge. I said, this is what we do. You know, someday you might need it. I don't know. If not, don't even worry about it. Do you even want this? He said, yeah, man, yeah, I'll take it. But we put up barriers on our side, too, you know, from that other neighbor, because we didn't want that little girl to come running through our place and, you know, raising hell with our kids. So it's really important to do that, though. It really is when you live in neighborhoods like that.
Yeah.
You really should do that,
That's crazy that she brought that up, because in this apartment, to this day, you can hear scratching in the walls,
mm-hmm.
knockings. And it's not just the walls. I'm on the top floor, and there's just a flat roof, right?
Yeah.
I could hear something walking on top when there's nothing there. And then on the floor below us, I could hear scratching under the floor, and it follows you wherever you walk. Yeah. And it happens to this day. So, you know, like I said, I'm hopefully getting out of here. But I forgot to tell you a part of that story with Samantha.
Oh, okay.
So one night,
mm-hmm.
she was in her room drinking, and I didn't know she was drinking, because she used to, like, when I finally cleaned it out, she had hundreds of bottles, empty bottles, that she used to sneak in there. Yeah, so I heard her talking. I was here by myself with her, and I was cleaning the house and stuff, and I heard her talking to someone, and I thought, well, maybe she's just talking to herself. But then, it you know, I go down the hall, clean it, go to my room, start cleaning and stuff, and I heard her laughing in there, but I swear I heard someone else laughing in there. And it just kind of stopped me in my tracks, like, wait, it's just us two here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go and open that door. She's sitting in the dark, and I swear in the corner there was two red eyes.
Oh.
And that, you know, I just forgot, because that one really stuck to me. Like, I slammed that door real quick, and she came out, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I didn't bring it up, because I didn't, you know, want to make things worse. So, you know, like I said, I smudge a lot. I have cedar, too, that I would burn.
Dang.
But, yeah, a lot of scary stuff's happened here. I told you about my daughter, too, that time and that cross turned upside down, didn't I?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, a lot of scary things have happened here, and like I said, but there's been a lot of deaths here. I mean, the ones I know about and the ones I don't know about, I don't know how many more people, because they find people in these apartments dead from fentanyl or, you know, drug overdose, heroin, people frozen, you know, so it's crazy. There's, like I said, 6 buildings, probably 50 apartments to each building. I know this land even if they tear these down, I know whatever's put here next will probably be haunted, because so much death and so much scary things go through here.
Yeah, it seems like the best you could hope for is just to put barriers on your own place and don't let those, you know, because you have to redo barriers over time. You just have to. They mm-hmm. they kind of wear down. You know, you could, like, if you're mad one day and you're...
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. I mean, even sad or whatever, it'll make them break down. You know, like, just anything like that. If anybody brings without your knowledge, could bring like a beer or you mm-hmm. know, some sort of drugs in there, it could start wearing them down. You know, so you always have to kind of redo them and kind of try to keep them up for as long as you can. And once you start noticing things, you have to put them back up, and you know, things like that. And but I think that's probably, like, the only thing you can hope for is just trying to secure your own little area, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it sounds like there's more than one there, because that...
Oh, yeah.
that drinking, when you drink like that, those alcohol mm-hmm. spirits do drink with you. And same with those yeah. drug spirits. When they do those drugs, those spirits, you know, play along with you and make you, kind of make you crazy yeah. too. And what I thought was crazy when you were talking about Samantha, when, what is it, she crawled like a spider?
Mm-hmm.
That happened yeah. to my mom too when she was taking care of one of my family members that was coming off of drugs.
Oh,
same
gosh.
Thing. Had to, I know what you're talking about. She, my mom described it as a crab. She, like, she almost
yeah.
looked like a
that,
crab.
I was just not gonna. Yeah, that's what I was just not gonna say. That's what she said. It was like a spider, a crab.
Yeah.
And you know, I wasn't there, but she told me. She says I don't want to ever be around her. Like she, when Samantha would come around,
mm-hmm.
Corinthia would leave. Like she was deathly afraid of her.
Yeah. But that's the same, like everything you talked about is like the same thing that happened to my mom, because I gave mm-hmm. my mom some cedar because she was noticing mm-hmm. weird things would happen when this family member would come around. And
mm-hmm.
one night when she gave her the cedar, like she just started, well, she got up and said, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I'm smudging." She come smudge with me. It was early in the morning. I said, "Okay." And so mm-hmm. she did, and she just started sweating. She said, "What did you do to me? You know, it's just cedar. Like, oh, you shouldn't act like mm-hmm. that. You know, you shouldn't. Unless mm-hmm. there's something around you." And so anyways, you know, things like that would happen to her. Like, whenever my mom would start smudging with that cedar, she would just leave. Like, she would leave.
Mm-hmm.
But she was staying there with my mom because my mom found her all, you know, beat up and really in rough shape. Yeah. And she was taking care of her, trying to get her back on her feet and, you know, bringing her to church and things like that. Yeah. And
yeah, that's what I was doing with Samantha too. Like I said, she was rough when I, you know,
mm-hmm.
I told her to come move down here with me. She was just in a hard patch, and her family just weren't getting along because of her lifestyle.
Jeez, that's so I was, crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we became best friends, and you know, it hurt me. Like I, you know, I've never told that story to just but few family members, and this is the first time I'm telling anybody, you know. Because it, to this day, I still sit there and I wonder, did that really happen? You know, like, it's like seeing Bigfoot or UFO. Does that really happen? You know?
Wow, yeah.
Like, you have to ask yourself over and over again because you're in disbelief.
Jeez, well, thanks for telling that story. And you know what, Lamont, I offer you my mm-hmm. condolences for your loss. That's really tough.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, to this day, like I said, this happened, I'd probably say about 7-8 years ago. But still, it hurts, you know. It's like you still think about, because you go into a room, you're like, oh, I remember we did this here, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sad. But like I said, I don't think I could cover myself, you know. I could cover my house, my family. But I don't think these things are ever going to go away because, like I said, the blood that was spilt on this land and,
yeah.
you know, whatever's happened before they even built here or... But, yeah, it still happens. I still hear things. I still see things, you know. And like I said, it was only a few weeks ago a few months ago that my daughter saw that thing on her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it went away for the longest time. After I did that, what that demonologist told me to do, you know, like pray and stuff like that, the Catholic way,
mm-hmm.
it went away for the longest time, but, you know, I mean, it didn't stay away.
Okay, if you guys haven't checked out the Facebook page, The Original Ghost Stories from the Rez, I encourage you to check that out. You know, what it is stories that people post, you know, so you got to read through the story, but there's a ton of them there. From all different reses, there's a lot of people on that, and yeah, I'd encourage you to check that out if you know you get bored or you think about it. Go in there and like some of those posts, kind of support LaVon with her her page and all that. You know, she's a good person. She's got a lot of good stories, and she's always willing to come on the podcast, and you know, always thankful for that. So thank you, LaVon. I had more guests lined up, but you know how it goes. Things always fall through here and there, and eventually we get the recordings, but it's always not as as soon as I want them to be lately. But anyways, we have more coming up. I think we got a recording tomorrow. I was supposed to do 3 of them today, actually. And, you know, when it rains, it pours kind of thing. But I don't know if one of the other ones couldn't do it because he lost reception to his phone. And then the other one, I just haven't heard back. So something must have happened with them, too. So anyways, tomorrow's a new day. We'll try it again tomorrow. But as soon as I get them, I'll go ahead and post them right away. So, you know, we've been waiting for more content. And I thank everybody for your patience, you know, being there for, you know, just sticking around and waiting for the next episode. And I know there's a lot of you out there that wait for these. And I'm sure glad you do, because once I get them, I kind of put them right out. I don't wait anymore. I just put them right out. And, I mean, if I ever had a whole bunch pile up, I'd probably wait for a few of those. But, yeah, I'm hoping to get another patron or 2 episodes out next month. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, I've been also thinking about my dogs, my pets. And I had this guy tell me something once. How can I say this? I'll just say it. He can communicate with some of those spirits sometimes, right? And it was the oddest thing, because just out of the blue, I start thinking about my dogs when I was talking to the guy. The dogs I grew up with out on the creek, you know, I start thinking about them. So I asked him, I said, how about my dogs? I said, I had some dogs growing up. I said, how are they? How are those animals of mine, you know? And he told me, he said, they're good. They're good. They're in that other place. He said, you had 3 of them. And he said they were really protective of you. I told him, yeah, they were. And then there was 3 of them. Like, how did you know? But anyway, I don't really question. I just start kind of laughing. And he said, yeah, they're there. He says, anytime you want their protection, he said, just pray to them. Just say a prayer and, you know, they'll hear you. He says, but yeah, they're over there and they're doing good. Don't worry about them. I tell him, well, I ain't worried. I just kind of wondering about him. He says, yeah, they're good. So anyways, that just makes me think. You know, I'm always thinking of a good thing to say. And so I guess my good thing to say on this one is, be really thankful for your animals. You know, because humans, us, we have corruption. We're like lower than animals. Animals are above us. So really be thankful for your animals. Always treat them good. You know, I know we get frustrated at our animals sometimes. Like right now, my one dog's going into heat, and these other 2 male dogs just keep crying and whining and pacing and carrying on. And, you know, but still, it's good to even have an animal, right? And sometimes I don't think we deserve some of these animals, how good and loyal they are to us throughout their whole lives. So if you can, just, you know, give your dog an extra treat. Jeez, feed your fish an extra little flake or something, you know. All right. Well, until next time.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.